Tonight's shiur, Parshas Shmini, brought to you by Mishpachat Weinblatt of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Louis Nishpas Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Yosef, Ben Chaim, Slicha. Somewhat into the Parsha and the third Aliyah, you have the Pasuk, Be'er Shem Al Aron Lei, more Yain V'Sheichar Al Tesht, Atau V'Necha Itach, that Hashem commanded Aaron that he shouldn't drink intoxicating beverages, because doing so would puzzle him from doing the avoda. So Yain Meshechar, he's not allowed to drink. Gata, you and your sons with you, bevoachem alo amoev, you go into alo amoev, alo samusu, and you shouldn't die. Hukas olam lador seichem, this is a chok for generations. Next pasuk lahavdil ben a kodesh ben a chol, to distinguish between what's kodesh and chol, ben tamay and tar, lahoros, and to teach us bnei Israel as chim, or to teach also you can't be under the influence. Asher diber Hashem aleihem biyad Moshe. So there's an interesting gra. He says that we find in Tanakh three times the word sod, which is literally secret, the secrets of Hashem. We find the word three times. One is in Tehillim. It says, Sod Hashem li Reav. Another time is in Mishlei. It says, Ves Yesharim Sodo. And Sod. And lastly, in Amos, Gala Sodo El Avad of Hanavim. So here we have the Sod being revealed to three types of people. In the first Pasuk, we had the Yireyim, Yireyav. Second Pasuk, Yesharim. And the third pasuk, the Nevi'im. So says the Graf, you take the first letters of the three types of people, and they are Yireyim, Yud, Yesharim, Yud, and Nevi'im, Nun, Yud, Yud, Nun, spells Yain. As it says, Nichnas Yain, Yatsa Sod. The Yain, these three types of individuals come in, and Yatsa Sod, Hashem reveals to him his Sod. Also, Al Pidrush, Rav Shalom Sobel, he darshans the Pasuk. We see from here the different times when we partake of wine. And they are as follows. First of all, Yain V'Sheichar Altesh. Starts off, you're not supposed to drink wine when you do the avodas. We said, however, there are times when one does drink wine. And they are as follows. The Pasuk continues, Ata uvanecha itach. Meaning, he says, that's referring to your sons when you're at weddings, your chasnam, your children. I'd like to add, he doesn't say this, but bris of your son, pidyon ben, also you drink a wine. So, atal vanecha itach, is referring to these times when we drink wine. Pasuk continued, buachem el oel moed, when you go into the tent of the meeting, is a remes to a chanukah sabais, when you still have a new house, me chanukah sabais, oel moed, again we drink wine. Next, the pasuk continues, "Ulahavdil bein kodesh uvein chol." This is, of course, kodesh and chol, kiddush, havdalah, when we drink wine. Next, it says, "Ubein hatamei uvein tahor." That is, we just finished Purim, tamei bein tamei and tahor, our Haman Baruch Mordechai, lavdil bein tamei and tahor. That's Purim. And finally, at the end, Lohoros has been Israel. This refers to teaching, which is a hint to the Siyum. We also drink wine by a Siyum. So the hint from in this Pasuk, there are different times when we drink wine. We have in the Sedra the kosher, Simanim, the kosher animal. That chews its cud, just split hooves. So there's a remez. It says that the word tahor is written here without a vav. Tet he resh. So tes he resh in gematria is 214. Tameh is tes mem aleph, which is 50. So tahor is 214. Tameh is 50. What happens if you take 50 away from 214? You're left with 164, which is the gematria of sedek. Sedek being a crack. Meaning the difference between a tame animal and a tahor animal is the split hooves. Right? Has the tahor animal split hooves. That's a remes of sedek. Difference between tahor and tame. And we find a remes to this in the last pasuk of the Sedra, which Bezrat Hashem will see a little bit later, other things from there. But it says in the end of the Sedra, lahavdil bin a tame v'hatahor, Here are the words Tame and Tahor. What's the difference between Tame and Tahor? We said 164, which is Tzedek, which is Uvenachaya Nechal, Uvenachaya Asher Lo Techel, which is the difference between animal that you can eat and could not eat, is the difference, is the Tzedek, is the split hoof. It says not in this Sedra, but in Parshas Re'eh, where it also mentions the kosher animals, kosher birds. So mentions a bird has different, actually three names. Rashi says it mentions all three names in the pasuk, but all the same bird. Either a daya, a ra'ah, an ayah, but they're all the same bird. It's one of the words that aren't kosher. Rashi says, brings the Chazal, why is this bird called a ra'ah? So lashon to see, ro'eh, because it has very good eyesight. That's what Rashi says over there. And the Gemara in Chulin says more. It says that this bird stands in Bavel and ro'ah nevelos be'eretz Yisrael. It can be in Bavel and has such great eyesight that it can see carcasses in Eretz Yisrael, nevelos in Eretz Yisrael. So they ask, if it is has such wonderful eyesight, then why is it a treif bird though? Why isn't that? Why should it be a kosher bird? It's got such wonderful eyesight. So Rav Zelman Saratskin says, first of all, because what does it see? Nevelus. It sees bad. It only sees the carcasses. But he adds what's more, and he says, what is it? It's this bird's in Chutzlar, it's in Bavel, and it sees nevelus in Eretz Yisrael. It's somebody who's in this case the bird, who's in Chutzlar, and only sees bad things going on in Eretz Yisrael, that's a treif bird. Right, they only look negatively. You're living in Chutz Laaretz and you're looking at bad things in Eretz Yisrael. You want to look at bad, so come live here, okay? But if you're over there and you're just criticizing, that's a sign of a treif bird. It's an interesting little see the diktuk of the Torah, like every letter. It says Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Talks about in passing. It says, "Mikola ochel asher yachel asher yavo alav mayim itma." Right, that a food, in order to become tame, has to be wet with one of the seven mashkin, right? Yad shachatam, which is yain dam, shemen chalav, tal dvash and mayim. Has to have one of these shiva mashkin in order to become tame. So. Okay, that's what the pasuk is referring to. Mikol ochel she'echel she'yavo ala mayim itman. It has the water on it, which one of the shiva mashkim, it can become tama. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky points out, he says, notice, here we have the word asher yavo. Yavo here is written yud, bet, vav, aleph. It says the word yavo is never spelt in the Torah with a vav. Okay, it's always without a vav. Dafka over here, for some reason, it's with an extra vav in there, yavo. So again, the diktuk, why? He says, because as we said before, that there are seven mashkim that if goes, that can go on food, that can allow it to become tameh. Right? Yad shachatam. This pasuk mentions just one of them. Water. Right? So it says, mikolach asher yavo alav mayim. There's another six. So it says, to hint that there's another six mashkim, you have the extra vav in yavo to show you that there's mayim, but besides mayim, there's another six. Every letter of the Torah, this is a reason for. Okay, so let's move already to the end of the parsha, and mention the pasuk. Say it again. Again, refers to the kosher and unkosher. It's also Torah sabehema ba'of kol nefesh chay or meshes ba'mayim lochol nefesh hasharetz etzaretz. And the last pasuk in the sedra, lahavdil. Beina tamei uvena tahor, to make a distinction between that's tamei, that's what is tor, uvena chaya, and the animal that is nechel, is eaten, and beina chaya shelo teachel, the animal that cannot be. So there's a famous vort said in the Miachas, the vort of Rabbi Kiva Eger, that the pasuk's set up quite funny. It says, lahavdil beina tamei uvena tahor. Okay, so it starts off with the negative, the tamei. The animal, let's say that's tameh, and then tahor. And then it says it again with lagabe chaya also, and vena chaya ha nechel, which is eaten, and then the chaya is lo sechel, not beaten. L'chura, to keep the style straight, it starts off Tamei Tahor. So in the second pasuk, it should have said it the same way. So it started off with the chayah that's Eina Necheles, and then Necheles. Just like first Tamei Tahor should have been Eina Necheles and Necheles. Whereas here it's the opposite way around. Why is that the case? So the Rabbi Chaim Eger has it based on the Gemara in Yuma. That it's, the Gemara says over there that if a woman is pregnant and she smells some food, whether it be unkosher food or on Yom Kippur, when she's not supposed to be eating, she smells it, but when she has a taiva for it. So if she doesn't eat from it, it's dangerous. Pikuach nefesh could be for the child, for her. She must eat from this food. However, since we're talking about Yisurei Deraisa here, whether it be Treifas, whether it be Yom Kippur, whatever, so the Gemara says, if she says, you know, I gotta have this food, so we first whisper to her, you know, on Yom Kippur we whisper to her, you know, it's Yom Kippur today. So some say we're whispering, not so much to the woman, we're like whispering to the neshama of the child. So we're trying to, you know, whisper in her ear, get to the neshama, like, it's Yom Kippur today. So then the Gemara says, if she calms down and says, okay, fine, I'm okay, and she calms down, just need the food, good. But if she's not, she doesn't, then okay, no choice, we have to give it to her. So the Gemara then relates that there was in fact a case of each. There was once a case where a woman said, oh, I gotta have this food on Yom Kippur. They whispered to her there was Yom Kippur, and she calmed down. And out of her came, who was the baby? Rabbi Yochanan. That was Rabbi Yochanan came from that. He was the baby inside at the time. And another maaseh the Gemara brings, the opposite. There was a woman who had this taiva to eat on Yom Kippur. And they whispered it was Yom Kippur. And she said, no, I gotta eat. So they gave it to eat. And who was she pregnant with? She just gave birth to a boy named Shabtai. And she was called Shabtai Atzar Peri. He was a Russia. What would he do? He would hoard food, which fruit in this case, pear is fruit. He used to hoard the fruit, and by taking, you know, hoarding it all, it would raise the price, and people couldn't afford it would be starving. They couldn't eat. The poor people would be starving because they couldn't eat from the food because the prices were so high. He caused the increase in pricing by hoarding the fruit. This is the person that came out of this woman. Anyways, so said Rabbi Chaim Eger, we have a hint to this idea in the pasuk over here, and that will answer the differences in the style. In other words, ulahavdil ben atame ve'atar means that sometimes we can see the difference between a person that's tame, a bad person, you know, like we saw this Shabtai, and a tahor, a person that's a good person. What is that sometimes dependent on? Chaya is also lashon of a woman that gives birth. It's also called a chaya. Okay, it's also another word for midwife, right? But for also a woman giving birth, it's called a chaya. In Mela, the difference between a tamei and a tahor, a good person, a bad person, is sometimes dependent on a chaya hanecheles, a woman that gives birth, that before that she ate. Uvein a chaya shelotechel, a woman that doesn't eat. Meaning, if she eats, sometimes you can, like we saw, you can have a bad child come out of that, like Shabtai Yosei Peri. And whereas if she doesn't eat, she can control herself, and now out of that comes sometimes a Rabbi Yochanan. So now the style is very good. It starts Tamei Tahor, bad good, and that is, Benechaya Necheles, the one that eats, that's the first thing in the second pasuk, that's connected to Tamei, the bad boy, child that comes out. And then, Tahor, the good child, is at the end of the pasuk, the woman is lo seachel, that she doesn't eat. So it fits in perfect. The Darchi Musar of Naiman, a very nice chap here, he says, when I first saw this Gemara, and I was reading about, you know, this woman that, you know, ate on when she couldn't control herself. And he said, if you would have asked me what type of a child would come out of, you know, this woman that, you know, eats on Yom Kippur or eats treif or whatever. So what type of a child will come out? So he said, I would have said probably a child that is over on, I don't know, eating treifis or at least something which has been adam lamachum. Because Sacha, what did she do? She wasn't over on ben adam lachavero. You know, she was over ben adam lamachum. She ate something she wasn't supposed to. Treifis on Yom Kippur has nothing to do with other people. It's between man and God. Okay, so she transgressed. Couldn't control herself. The gavi avera between man and God. So you'd think she would have a child that also would, you know, be transgress mitzvahs between man and God. But that wasn't the case. She gave birth to a guy that was affected other people. He hoarded the food, raised the price, it affected the poor people. This is ben adam l'chavero. So it's very strange why she did something, you know, ben adam l'makom, and she would have a child that was bad in the area of ben adam l'chavero. So he says we see from here yesod, and that is that if a person can't control himself, right, and he can't do what's good for himself, then Mele will not be able to do what's good for somebody else. And then I would say, hey, no, it's not good for you. We're going to see your metamtim, your nefesh, if you eat things that are treif, etc. And you can't control yourself for yourself, for your own good. You can't mevater on your desires. So surely you won't be able to mevater on for other people's sake. If you can't even do what's good for you, surely you're not going to be good to do good for other people. But Mele, this woman was not able to control her taivas, and she had to eat. So Mele, she had a child which she can't control for her own good. She had a child which led to, she surely will not be able to, you know, think about other people and control yourself when it comes to other people. Mele, she had a child which affected others. And he says, beautiful, that we see with Rabbi Yochanan, right, he was the one that came out of the woman, his mother was able to control herself. We see totally the opposite. The Gemara says in Brachos at the beginning, that Rabbi Yochanan used to sit at the, he was a very beautiful person, very beautiful, good looking, and he used to sit at the gate of the mikveh. So when women would come out of the mikveh and leave the mikveh, they would look at him, and then they would have children, beautiful children. So he did it so that there should be beautiful young men in Klal Yisrael. He sat there at the mikvah. So he says, here we see the opposite. He says, can you imagine who's Rabbi Yochanan? You know, imagine, you know, can we think of one of our gedolim, you know, Chaim Kanievsky, you know, going to a mikvah, you know, with a ladies' mikvah and sitting outside there and so women to walk by. It's a busha. It's a, you know, how can you do such a thing? But he did it because he cared about other people. He goes, I want there to be a nice looking yidden. So he did what was uncomfortable, was beneath his kavod, but because he cared about others. So here we see the totally opposite. Here, his mother, who cared about herself and who was willing to mevater on her knees and her desires and her wants, she had a child who did the same. He had Rabbi Yochanan also didn't care. He cared about not only himself, he cared about other people. Made sure that other people look good as well. Okay. Also, in this pasuk, we said le'avdil bena tamei betar. So, simple pshat is right that we have to be careful to see what's tamei and what's tahor. But it goes further than that. Okay, not only, of course, it's a terrible thing if something's tamei, something's not kosher, and you say you're not careful and you don't look into it enough, and you might say that this thing is tahor. But the truth of the matter is, it's not so pashut to the other way around also. We see by the vidui of Rabbeinu Nisim, we say it on Yom Kippur Katan and on Yom Kippur and in Filat Zaka, we say the vidui of Rabbeinu Nisim. So part of his vidui is, he says, es asher taharta timeti, he's misvada, he's a Hashem, things that you made tahor, timesi, I made tame. And Vesa Sherta Timeta Tarta and Tiarti, and those that you made Tame, I made Tahor. And then he continued, those things that you assered, I made Mutter, and those things that you made Mutter, I made Asr, etc. So I saw an interesting Yara that I could see that, you know, something which is Shem makes says Tame, I make it Tahor. Okay, you know, I'm being Mako. Or something where Hashem says it's Asr, and I say it's Mutter. Again, I'm being Mako. But why was it Misvada the other way around? Something Hashem says it's Mutter, I said it's Asr. Okay, so what's so terrible? So I was Machmir, I made it Asr. You know, something was Tahor, it was really Tahor. I made it, okay, play it safe. Hey, this thing is Tamei. Why is it Misvada for that? So he says, we see from here, like the Pasuk says in Kohelet, Al Tiyat Sadi Karbe. It's not, just as it's not right and proper, to when something is, you know, of course, asr to make it mutter, it's not proper something which is really mutter to make it asr for no reason. Right? It can lead it to the other way if you're not careful. And what's emes is emes. There was once a zemaisa with Reb Mordechai Benet, he was the Rav of Nicholsburg, that he went out very strongly against the reform movement at the time. And once he bumped into this reform rabbi. So the reform rabbi was bragging about how he has a kehillah and he's, you know, everything goes by his word, etc., etc. So he started talking to him a little bit about the halacha and things, Isser v'heter. He saw the guy knew nothing. He knew nothing about Isser v'heter. So he said to this rabbi, he says, what happens when somebody brings a chicken to you, you know, wants you to say, it's kosher, what do you do? Because he saw he doesn't know anything. So he said, I can't be bothered, you know, to look into the sources. So when a shayla comes to me, I just say it's treif. You know, it's no big deal. It's a treif, play it safe. He said, you know, treif. So Benet told her, he said, let me tell you a maisa. He says that there was once a guy who lived in an outskirts. I'm from the city of Nicholsburg. I'm from a little village, you know, in the outskirts. And it was a simple village person. And a yid. And he made his parnasa from selling chickens. He hired a shochet. A shochet would, shech the chickens. And then he would give it to him. And this yid would sell the chickens. So what happened? Every now and then he would get a shiloh. There's no rav in the little village where he's from. So sometimes he would, in the way, a couple of shilohs come up, whatever, take the birds, come to Nicholsburg to the rav, and then show the rav and get a psak. So that's what he did. Anytime he had a shiloh, traveled to Nicholsburg, gave a show to the rav there, get a psak. So and every now and then it got a little bit, you know, hectic, because sometimes, you know, there's a few shilohs came on, went back and forth, and it was quite difficult. So once he bumped into this jester, Kal, late son, and he told him, I have back and forth, these shilohs driving me crazy. So the guy said, I don't understand. He said, I can make your life much easier. I said, what do you mean? He said, you don't have to schlep always to the rav to get the answer to shiloh about your birds. He says, well, why not? How am I supposed to know? He says, very simple. He says, it says in the pasuk, right? The pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim that ubasar besade treifa lo sochelu be lekelef tashlichin also. Then what are you supposed to do with the treifas? You throw it to the dogs. So the guy said, yeah. So what are you getting at? He says, very simple. So we throw the treifas to the dogs, right? Yeah. So therefore, anytime you have a shiloh, just throw the bird to the dogs and see what happens. If the dog eats it, so that's a sign that it's treif. Because you throw the treifas to the dogs, the dog eats it, it's treif. If the dog doesn't eat it, so then it's a sign that it's kosher. Very simple, you only have to schlep to the rav for. So he goes, oh, okay, let me try that. Sure enough, he had a bird, you know, shiloh, throws it to the dog, dog devours it. He says, oh, your feedback, great, now I see, it must have been treif. Another bird comes out, throws it at a dog, dog eats it up. Again, you notice, every time he throws the shiloh at the dog's eating up the bird. So, he's like, okay, but he accepted it, you know, Mina Shemaim, I guess, you know, it's treif, just kidding, going on and on. Then, one point, this is getting ridiculous, right? He had a lot of shilohs, throwing them all to the dog, and the dog's eating up all the chickens. So he went to the Rav finally, to Nicholsburg, and the Rav, look, he says, well, that's interesting, you know, I haven't seen you in such a long time. You used to come all the time with your shilohs. What happened? He goes, yeah, well, you know, now it's, I had this dog, and, you know, he's been poskening for me. You know? So he says, so if you have a dog poskening for you, so why are you coming now? So he says, because this dog's a real machmir. You know, he's constantly eating up all the things. It's a big machmir. I can't take it anymore. So that's why I wanted to come to you. So the Benet was telling this his rabbi, you know, that the dogs, you know, they're machmir. And so he's saying, telling this, hinting to this rabbi that, maybe you shouldn't be a machmir all the time. Okay. Anyways, another Gemara in Yom Daf Lamed Tes tells us that averas and when a person eats treif, it's metamtem the libo shel adam. It affects the person's heart. It stops off, stops up his heart. And the Rishoni, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Ebenezer, they say that how does that work? That these animals that are not kosher, they have certain characteristics, negative characteristics. They're achzari, they're cruel, and therefore when a person ingests these animals that are have these cruel characteristics to them, he ingests it, becomes part of him, he becomes like that. That's one of the tamim why to stay away from treif. In fact, the more in Chagiga, the Yerushalmi in Chagiga, says that Elisha ben Avuya, he was the teacher of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's Rebbe, as we know, he went off the derech, and the Gemara relates, he got to the stage where he was riding a horse on Yom Kippur Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. Amish went off the derech totally. So the Gemara brings down different reasons, perhaps, why this happened, and one of them was, we said before, that his mother passed by a house of Avodah Zarah, and she smelt the korban of the Avodah Zarah, and she had a taiva to eat it, and there's one opinion is that she actually did eat it, and because of that, she had a son that in the end affected the Ubar, which was Elisha ben Avuya, which led him to eventually to go off the Dera. So we see here how not only if a person eats something that's not kosher, it can affect him, even if his mother eats something that's not kosher, it can affect him. So it's interesting, it's a Shachan Ataz that actually say an incredible thing. He said if a woman, let's say that she's pregnant or whatever, and she eats, after she gave birth already, okay? And then she eats something that, not kosher, but because of pikuach nefesh. Not that she's used to stomach eating treif. Pikuach nefesh, right? Her life says, she has to eat, or it's pikuach nefesh, and she eats. So the shachan thought to bring down is she shouldn't, right away, nurse the child. Because since she ate something which wasn't kosher, that thing that she ate is going to go into the kid when she nurses him, and it's going to affect the kid later on in life. When this is something that she was allowed to eat, it was a mitzvah to eat. But since it wasn't kosher, she shouldn't nurse the kid right away because it can affect the kid later on. Unbelievable. There's a prichadish that says, Kevin Shekain, he says, I'm quoting a prichadish, also in Yeridea, Simon Peyalef, he says, Shebizmanenu she'eni zarim b'zeh, that we're not careful in these things, rov abanim yotzim latarbut ra, kids go off the derech because of this, rubam him azeh panim shebedor, and they've got chutzpah, ve'en yiris Hashem no ges b'libam, they don't have yiris Hashem, ve'afim yochichem alpanim, if you give a musar a love, v'nei kibuloi musar, they don't accept the musar, etc. When this happens. And there's an unbelievable idea brought from the Sefer Igra the Pirka. He's a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And he says that the reason why when children, they grow up, they have bad midas, they go off the derech, whatever. He says, why? He says, because their parents fed them mammon of geza. Which is another idea, right? We think, okay, treifus, an alti treif, okay? So yeah, well, it's got a kosher home, everything's bedats, everything's 100%, but what? If the parents were not careful in their business dealings, so the money they made is not kosher money. With that, they went and bought all the bedats food in the world, but since it was bought with money that was treif, it was made with the so that has also has an effect on a child. When a child eats food that can be have all the haksherim on it, was bought with money from their parents made in a non-kosher way, that also affects negatively the child. And as we see, when it grows up, he says that's why the kids have bad midas. They grow up, they go off of theirs because they're eating food that might be have a haksher, but it's unkosher food, was bought with money that's not kosher. Unbelievable. Let's end with one last maysa. There was a big professor, he was an engineer, and he came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he told him the following story about himself. He says, he was an older man, he's like 90 years old, right? And he came to Rav Chaim, and he said, I'll tell you, Maisa, it happened to me 77 years ago, which when he was a bar mitzvah, okay? He says, I had a very sharp mind, and in yeshiva I was, Mamish, Masmid, and I was very, 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 very stark in yeshiva. What happened? He says, all of a sudden, just like that, I just couldn't learn anymore. And I remember it happened once. We used to go home a couple of times a year, from yeshiva to be at home, and it was around Shavuos time. And I came home for Shavuos, came back to yeshiva. From that day on, this was 77 years ago. I can't. Put together a Daf Gemara. I went later on to university, this, and I became a professor, my mind in other areas, 100%. When it comes to Torah, just closed up. I can't learn. Couldn't learn ever since then. And I didn't know what's the reason. What happened all of a sudden? He says, until I picked up a sefer one day, the sefer called Yushalayim Shalmala. And in there, it's a maisa that a woman came to Rabbi Akiva Eiger and said to him, you know, I have a son, and he was a good bachar, and all of a sudden, just the same thing, he just couldn't learn anymore. And he started, you know, wasn't he that many cheshik anymore, he used to learn with the excitement, and just like died. He's just like, no, he's not interested anymore in the learning. I don't know what's going on. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger told the woman, she said, check what he ate. That maybe he didn't eat something that was, not so kosher. So she said, check what he ate. So she thought, how could that be? You know, my house is 100% kosher, everything, all the best hechshers. And not only that, as we said, masa matan, her business dealings were everything 100%. So she said, can't imagine, everything's kosher in my house. So she was thinking, finally she said, she realized what was it. Said that there was a shoyched in town who they heard that he was not so ay anymore, and they brought it to the Rav, and the Rav paskin that the shoyched is not allowed to be a shoyched anymore. He pasled him from, took away his Kabbalah, he's not allowed to be a shoyched anymore. So this shoyched was azpanim, and he wasn't mekabel, the psak of the Rav, and he on the side was still shecht, even though the Rav took him down. So there was a woman in the city that she was making a chasana, and she didn't have too much money, and she needed to buy chickens, whatever, for the suda, for the chasana. So she wanted to find the cheapest source. So she saw that this is the shoychet, since, you know, he wasn't really registered anymore, so he was it was much cheaper than the others. So she went, she bought her chickens from this shoychet, who was puzzled from being a shoychet, and for the chasana. So this woman says, and my son, she said, went to that chasana and ate from those chickens. So she realized what Rabbi Akiva Eiger said. It was tough because she ate from the, my son ate from those chickens that were from a rav. It doesn't mean it's necessarily trait, but he lost his kabbalah. He wasn't a kosher shochet anymore. And he ate from those chickens. That what they said since then, that he couldn't learn. So this older man who was speaking to Rav Chaim said, so I read the story and I started thinking to myself, maybe that, you know, maybe I also ate something that wasn't kosher, and I was thinking way back, and then it hit me, yes. What happened? He says that that was dafka that time when I was a bar mitzvah, and I came home from yeshiva, and there was a bunch of goyim in the nearby, and they started gathering around me and making fun of me and this and that, how I keep kosher and don't eat this and that, and they tried to cajole me, they wanted me to eat chazir. So I said, no, chas v'shalom, I'm not going to eat it. And they said, no, come on, they kept prying, and they didn't let me go. They said, you have to eat it. So I kind of wanted to get them off my back. And I said, okay, I told them, I'll eat the chazir, but when I get home, give it to me and I'll take it home. When I get home, I'll eat. I'm not here, but when I get home. So they didn't want to believe me 100%, and they said, okay, fine, take the chazir and eat it at home, but just to, you know, just to show us, I want you to suck the bones from the chazir, just suck the bones over here, and then you can take the meat itself and eat it at home. So, I did. I sucked the bones from the dimis to, you know, get them off my back, whatever, and I went home and I got it over the head from my parents, but, he said, and then I realized that was it. He said, from that moment on, I couldn't learn a Black Gemara. That was it. That was 77 years ago. To this day, my mind was stopped up. But Hashem, we should all be zoichel lahavdil ben atami latawar, that know what's good and what's not good, and what's right, what's not right. Stay away from all those things we're committing metamtem to live. And Bezat Hashem, we should all be zoichel through our efforts in these areas and in all areas to the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehira b'yameinu.